From the date of that decision, American citizens have not really had a constitution at all. Until we, the people of this country, force Congress to use its power to reign in the Supreme Court, our constitution is whatever an oligarchy of nine men and women in Washington say it is. Well, I don't find too much to disagree with that, do you? And we're supposed to be on a break again. What's going on over there, Aaron? What are you doing over there, Aaron?
Pam Stegner, do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals, Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435 or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Back at the broadcast, and certainly much going on in the news. Now, this will give you a picture of the UN system in America, dated yesterday, the 21st. According to, this is coming from Hamrick, Michigan, residents of this once predominantly Polish city voted Tuesday to approve a ballot measure that organizers hoped would be a referendum on whether to allow mosques to issue the Islamic call to prayer over loudspeakers. The proposal to allow the broadcast passed 1,462 to 1,200, or 55% to 45%. But proponents of the measure acknowledged that the vote was merely symbolic. The ballot measure would not stop the amplified call to prayer. It would merely repeal a noise ordinance that regulates the volume and timing of the call. City officials said there would be nothing to prohibit the broadcasting of the call to prayer itself. The city council unanimously passed the noise ordinance in April after a mosque asked for permission to begin broadcasting the Arabic chants, traditionally issued five times a day. The council's action provoked an outcry among some longtime residents of Hamitrink, or whatever you call it, some of these pronunciations. A city of 2,300 people that is surrounded by Detroit. In recent years, the city has been in rapid influx of immigrants from Bangladesh, Yemen, and other countries. Well, who's responsible for that, listeners? The State Department. Go check it out yourselves. Go look on the State Department website. Go look and see who's being brought in this month. They get grants to set up their own businesses. What's a grant? Something you don't have to pay back. Am I right or am I wrong? Isn't a grant something you don't have to pay back? It's not a loan. Big indicator of the UN system in America. Here we see about a registration depot. Jennifer Berg of Bethany, and this is in Oklahoma, registers to vote Tuesday at Office Depot during a national registration drive sponsored by the company and Women Impacting Public Policy, a business women's group. Well, gee, Women Impacting Public Policy? You don't suppose they have an impact from Agenda 21, do you? Well, coming to conclusions? Am I jumping to conclusions? Here we see from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, President Bush said Tuesday, the country will be safer if he's reelected. Oh, boy. The country will be safer if he's reelected. I see. Quote, nobody wants to be the war president, Bush told supporters of an Ask the President event in this swing state, one of two in the day's itinerary. I want to be the peace president, he says. The president, his softer than usual rhetoric, he said peaceful a dozen times, comes as a poll shows most people think the government is doing a good job of protecting against another attack. However, Tuesday's Pew Research Center poll also found many believe terrorists can strike on U.S. soil as they did on September 11, 2001. And I don't think terrorists could strike on our soil like that. And I think that was an orchestrated event. Just like Pearl Harbor. A manipulation of the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor to destroy our Pacific fleet. But all by coincidence, our aircraft carriers weren't in Pearl Harbor. Aircraft carriers were very predominant for the Second World War. Without aircraft carriers, we wouldn't have had a chance. Billy Mitchell was right. He was vilified. I don't think it was Billy Mitchell now that I think about it. Yeah, maybe it was Billy Mitchell. Yeah, I think so. He was the one that argued for an Air Force so badly. But you see, wars are creations and moneymakers. And so we're always going to have these wars. Unless we can get to the bottom of it somehow. How are we going to stop the Federal Reserve and what they're doing? There's so much to knowing about this. There's so much power in place. The indoctrination process in the colleges and universities. In business. Here's another perfect example of what's going on in the papers dated yesterday. This ought to blow you away, but it probably won't. We say interstate idea to be reviewed, and I covered this on the discount gold and silver trading show I did today on Thursday on WBCQ, 7.415 at 3 to 4 Central Time. Oklahoma transportation officials plan to review the possibility of working with Texas on the Trans-Texas Corridor, a massive interstate transportation plan. Now, people... Another one I found was the NAFTA corridors. I don't think anyone found the corridors but me. I'm not bragging. I'm actually disgusted about it. But the NAFTA corridors are big. And it's up on our website on the second page of the front page of the website. NAFTA corridors. This goes on to state the corridor, a 4,000-mile network, would tie central roads, high-speed roads, and utility lines across Texas and its neighboring states, according to the Texas Department of Transportation. The plan provides a 50-year vision for transportation, and its final cost is estimated at, just a cool $183 billion with a B dollars. Of course, we take billion for granted now. We hear it so much, don't we? Now, this is a plan in their presentation. Team members from Cheng Patel Yerby Incorporated, a Dallas-based company that is one of the finalists for the project, will present the plan at 11 a.m., and that was yesterday, at the Oklahoma Transportation Authority meeting. According to the Texas Department of Transportation, the corridor will include, get this, roads, high-speed passenger rail, high-speed freight rail, commuter trail, and a dedicated utility zone. The concept includes separate lanes for passenger vehicles, three lanes in each direction, and trucks, two lanes in each direction. So that's 10 lanes altogether there for the vehicles. Also included in the project are six rail lines, three in each direction, one for high-speed rail between cities, one for high-speed freight rail, and one for commuter and freight rail. Well, gee. The third component of the corridor would be protected network. That's right, a protected network of safe and reliable utility lines for water, petroleum, natural gas, electricity, and data. There's the word data. What does that connect to? Smart highways. Oh, by the way, data. Meaning you're gonna have to pay to use those roads, people. You have to pay every time you drive on these roads. Expanding the corridor beyond Texas will require a cooperative effort with Oklahoma, Mexico, Louisiana, Arkansas, and New Mexico. Quote, there's an opportunity for Oklahoma to take advantage of the new corridor and extending it into Oklahoma, in quote, said Gilbert Cobb, who will be making the presentation along with Neil McCaleb, a former authority member. Well, there's lots going on with the NAFTA corridors. And you can check out on the website, AmericanExpose.com, you can check out the NASCO, the North American Superhighway Coalition. You can see how that's all being engineered over there. And learn all about all this planning process for this extensive NAFTA highway system, which we just covered just a portion of the NAFTA highways, or the NAFTA corridors, just a portion. I-35 is going to be a boondoggle, a monster. People out here don't understand that. They don't realize it. They don't comprehend it. Someday they will. They're working on the smog out here, too. They're talking about smog out here in Oklahoma. I couldn't believe how clear the skies were when I first moved out here from California. So they talk about on the front page of this Oklahoman, dated the 21st yesterday, how can you help reduce air pollution today? Well, ride the bus or carpool. Rides on Metro Transit buses are free on ozone alert days. Refuel vehicles in the evening, they say. Avoid lawn mowing. Walk or ride a bicycle instead of driving. Turn off your vehicle's air conditioner at least on the way to work in the morning. Well, why would that be so important on a heavy ozone alert day? Just amazing. Turn off your air conditioner? The move is to get us out of our vehicles. The price of gas is never going to decrease. This goes on to state the State Environmental Quality Department issued a clean air alert for yesterday in Oklahoma City. The alert warns of expected high concentrations of ozone and urges people with heart or respiratory ailments to limit exertion and outdoor activity. Well, gee, in July and August, you should alert, you should stay away from outdoor activity, period, out here because it's so damn hot. And I could certainly verify for that. On the front page, panel sets to release findings regarding the war on terrorism and 9/11. The report won't label attacks preventable. Well, gee, that's amazing. Maybe it's because all of our military might was in other countries, pre-deployed in other countries. What was NORAD for, anyway? Were those planes designed to hit? Were they remotely controlled and operated into those buildings? How will we ever get to the bottom of that one? Well, gee, how did we ever get to the bottom of the John F. Kennedy assassination? We didn't. How did we get to the bottom of Pearl Harbor? We didn't. How did we get to the bottom of the Murrah building disaster right here in Oklahoma City? How did we get to the bottom of it? We didn't. Well, we certainly know that there were more bombs inside the building because the press covered it. And we saw them coming out with the bombs. But, oh boy, Tim McVeigh did it. And Terry Nichols is guilty. And all those survivors of those that were victims were so overjoyed that Terry Nichols got what he deserved, even though he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison anyway. Whether that's justified or not, we'll never get to the bottom of it, will we? I mean, that's the biggest blatant... don't lose it. You know, when there are more charges inside the building and then they blame it on a truck bomb... And then Connie Chung says something about, well, is this some kind of trilateral commission conspiracy? I think that's what she said, something like that. She lost her job. She got demoted. Connie Chung. She's a little woman on the totem pole now, wherever she is. But she has to work. So we have this 9/11 scenario to deal with, and we have another Pearl Harbor on the horizon one way or the other sometime soon, another created crisis again to bring more control, more totalitarian control. Why even cover this? Who's going to be the better president, George Bush or John Kerry, both of them members of Skull and Bones, apparently, a secret society. Way back on June 9th, a Supreme Court ruling allowing Mexican trucks to drive across the United States could affect Oklahoma trucking companies when their freight counterparts meet safety and environmental regulations, a trucking industry official has said. Well, that's all part of NAFTA. They say the 10-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement guaranteed Mexican and Canadian truckers access to U.S. roads. Mexican trucks were restricted to a 20-mile zone north of the border under a 1982 agreement that superseded NAFTA. It goes on to state in 2002, President Bush ordered all U.S. roads open to Mexican trucks. But union and environmental groups objected on safety and pollution grounds and petitioned the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court on Monday sided with the Bush administration. According to the State Trucking Association, 150,000 Oklahomans are employed in trucking and related industries, which have a statewide economic effect of more than $1 billion annually. So that's what's holding back the trucks. The money. Here we see dated the 21st of July. Teen Suicide Crisis Spurs Health Plan. Teen suicide, people. Why is teen suicide on the horizon? The disturbing trend that a growing number of teens are committing suicide has prompted school officials to implement a program to educate students about how to help their friends. Claudia Swisher, an English teacher at Norman North High School, says, quote, I've lost way too many kids to suicide. She said she knows a handful of students, her son's best friend and sister of her daughter's friend, who have committed suicide. And one is too many, she said. Why are they committing suicide, people? Why are children committing suicide? I don't need to get into that too much more. We know why, don't we? Certainly, the prescribed medications to school has got to have a whole lot to do with that. And we'd like to know of any of these people that have committed suicide, what kind of drugs they were taking, wouldn't we? Plus, they're not really learning in school, are they? They're certainly having remedial reading problems when you go to college, too, aren't they? Here we see Chinese trip shows trade hopes as dated July 20th. A recent 12-day mission to China could yield economic benefits for Oklahoma, state officials said. At least three Chinese companies are expected to visit Oklahoma in the coming weeks or months with plans to invest in the United States, Commerce Secretary Kathy Taylor said. Oh, yeah, Kathy. She takes good orders, I'm sure. And two Oklahoma companies should either secure contracts with the Chinese government or expand their existing presence in the country within the year or, if not sooner, according to Taylor. In nearly 20 years since Governor George Nye signed a sister state agreement with the Chinese province of Gansu, Oklahoma has grown beyond simply trying to build a relationship or forging substantial trade ties, Taylor said. Well, gee. That's all part of the UN direction, sister cities. Look out, look it up for yourself. Just punch in sistercities.org and see what you come up with. Taylor was among a group of more than 50 Oklahoma government, education, and business leaders who recently returned from a 12-day mission to China. Oh, but people, it's communist China. There was something in the other in the front page that I forgot to get to you, and I'm going to kind of turn to that real quick because it's very ironic, people. Where did I see it? Oh, come on. There it is. I was the first one to tell you that Hillary Clinton was the first one to sign up to be a presidential running mate on the Democratic ticket way back in 2002. Actually, it was early 2001 when that was going on, when she did that. Well, here we see the 21st. Here it is, people. Delegates in next week's Democratic National Convention already have an idea about 2008 if presidential candidate John Kerry should lose this fall. They would favor Hillary Rodham Clinton over John Edwards as their next standard bearer. An Associated Press survey found that the first-term New York senator is the choice of more than a quarter of the delegates, while Edwards, recently tapped by Kerry to be his running mate, was favored by some 17%. So Hillary, we're not going to get rid of her. Hillary Rodham Clinton is not going to disappear. Barbara Boxer is not going to disappear, senator from California. Dianne Feinstein, oh, she's so evil. She's not going to disappear. Senator Ted Turncoat Kennedy, he's not going to disappear. These career politicians that keep getting reelected or reselected. And these attorneys that run for office. Go check out the constitutionalguardian.com website. They want to restore the Constitution by not voting for lawyers. constitutionalguardian.com. It's a pipe dream. But Hillary Rodham Clinton, oh boy, can never be taken away. Remember that? Well, the way things are being engineered, I tell you, yes, we're waiting. Well, I'm waiting for somebody to call in right now. Well, come on, call in. Someone call in.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Again, we're back. We have a call, John in New York, I believe. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Good. How are you?
Fine.
I think one of the biggest things to control us is going to be food.
Absolutely.
It's got to be the tough, you know, it's got to be the biggest number one nut. If you don't have food, you're going to bend your will.
Without a doubt.
And that's got to be the first thing everybody's going to look at. It's that. Everything else is secondary, I think.
Yes.
Fighting them, because if you can stay free and out and about, that's the worst harm you can be.
Yeah.
The second thing is, did you hear anything about a couple months ago? I caught a blurb of it, and I don't know if it was the military or FEMA or who it was, but they said something like there was orders. They had orders for 22,000. I thought they said, that's what struck my mind, is when they said 22,000 guillotines were ordered.
Oh, I've heard this off and on over the months.
And it was on
years.
The TV news. I was walking through the room. I said to my wife, did you hear that? What, you know?
It was on the TV news?
Yeah.
Well, that's because of all the organs that are needed. Didn't you know that?
And I'm like, who is ordering all this? And if they said with FEMA, I was wondering what the average Joe is thinking. What does FEMA need with guillotines? Because the average person doesn't realize FEMA is also the right arm of the prison network.
That's right, and certainly the no-hide laws, the Talmudic no-hide laws, call for decapitation as capital punishment for violations of one of the seven no-hides, any one of the seven no-hides. I'm not sure what they are, the no-hide laws.
So I was looking for information on that to print up, to hand out to other people. And then tonight I was looking, I sent you a webpage, 30 military families suddenly leave the U.S. I think it's a 2002 thing. I think you may have had an interview with them.
Oh, you're talking about Ammerman.
Oh, yeah, Colonel Esther is on the...
Okay, so I'm just looking at that email you just sent me. You must have gotten this from a Google search, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. And I was looking around for stuff with your name on it, and this popped up.
Yeah, good for you.
Because I was trying to find the more information about the station that you said you were at today. I didn't know if it was just an AM or short-term...
Well, this station, First Amendment Radio, is just Internet and satellite.
Correct.
And then on Tuesday and Thursday, I'm on WBCQ shortwave, 7.415. And
that's the information I was looking for, is finding out more information about that.
Yeah, that's on Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time. I'm helping out Melody at Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
So the theme of that is about gold and silver and precious metals?
Well, no, I do my thing, but it's sponsored by them,
and
she tells me to do my thing, and certainly I tell them to support her company as it needs support. It's so hard to trust people out there in that business.
Right.
And a lot of people have sent money into precious metals companies, and they have received nothing in return.
That's what I hear.
Oh, man.
And that's why I'm kind of like to the point where if I can't touch it and buy it at the same time, I'm kind of leery of doing anything else.
Absolutely. I would not ever, after what I've already done.
Because I've heard stories how they get this copper-clad stuff and people don't check it out.
Well,
I mean, gold-clad.
Once they have your coins and you want them sent back, well, they can change them for less of a grade coin.
Right.
If they find yours are in better condition, they'll swap them. And it's a terrible business to be associated with, as I've been experienced. I've had that experience myself with Midas.
Well, you know, I don't want to take away any business from anybody, but I really think that junk gold and junk silver is the way to go, because in a real bad depression or economic, nobody's going to care what grade it is. They want
to
trade for gold. And
that's an intelligent thought.
I don't think... if it's mint and plastic, you're going to get more bread than you will for a regular piece of gold.
Really? You might as well have the junk stuff, because it's not going to be disputed as to the value.
Right, and you get more bang for your buck with the junk stuff, and you don't feel so leery about burying it in the ground if you have to.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes good sense. Well, listen, regarding Jim Ammerman, I don't know what happened to him, and I was just looking at this. I've heard rumors to the effect that he might have been MKUltra. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the fact that the man's disappeared, well, might lead you to believe maybe he was MKUltra.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I'm looking over this information you sent, and it's fascinating stuff. But I don't know whether it's legitimate or not.
But down towards the bottom, it starts mixing in a little bit with some of the UFO stuff.
Yes, yes.
So I start shying away when it gets close to that stuff, because you can't really put your finger on that. And a lot of the UFO stuff may likely be advanced military stuff that's 30 years out that we have no idea of.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I've seen black and white videos years and years ago, taken in the 40s or 50s, of anti-gravity things, but they always had a cord connected to it.
Oh, really?
Control the platform.
Interesting.
Videos of that, so.
Well, they've got this article I keep pounding, dated February 2004, when UFOs arrived, from Popular Mechanics. They got a big article about that,
mm-hmm.
and that could be part of that Iron Mountain Report scenario of promoting invaders from outer space that came from this Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other technology they're talking about, scaring everybody into thinking that we're being attacked, maybe by UFOs. I know during the first Gulf War, Commander Solo and a couple other things out there that they were doing as far as beaming images and voices to the Iraqis to surrender, and they thought it was Allah in the sky. They were using I can't think of the term, not hieroglyphics, but
they were using Project Bluebeam.
Yes.
Which was holographic.
Holographic stuff, yeah.
Right. Yeah, very interesting. Now, you honestly heard on the news that how many guillotines were ordered?
I thought they said 22,000. That's why my jaw dropped, and I wanted to listen more, and I checked all over the news, and I couldn't find anything else about it. It was just a quick blurb.
Uh-huh, naturally.
It sounded like a lot.
Well, and the point is that it all fits.
Yeah, and I'm saying, well, what do they need 22,000 for? Wouldn't that make the public sit up?
It would, but it doesn't seem to, does it?
No.
And see, that there is a concentration camp plan. There has been. It was updated on August 1st, Field Manual 19.4, I believe. I have it here somewhere, and I can turn around and get it, but this wouldn't be the right time to do so. But they have an entire concentration camp program. It connects to the UN system. They just have to find a way to get them in.
Yeah.
And if they control the food,
yep.
And if you want to eat, you have to go to the concentration camp. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, they're talking about putting, you know, besides putting in genes in our food to reduce our population, they're talking about nanobots being put into our food to do who knows what.
Yeah, probably to tear up your internal organs.
That's, and then maybe spraying us with a binary kind of weapon. Right now they're spraying us with maybe binary one, and then down the road, binary two, and when it combines into your genes, it's poisonous or whatever. So I look around, and everything I look at almost has some kind of connotations or poisons in it. You look, aspartame is in 25,000 products.
Isn't that amazing?
And everything is used to reduce the population. I looked at the salad dressing, and there's a propylene glycol in that, but they say it's the healthy form. I mean, the form. I'm like, well, if it said, you know, some other kind of poison, it was the food form, would you still trust them and want to take it?
Yeah.
And propylene glyco is what they use as antifreeze to, you know, the dogs, a little bit just kill the dogs.
Oh, my.
So, anyhow.
Well, isn't that neat?
Paranoid, but there's something to it. All this, you know, stuff that's in your water.
Yes.
The fluoride.
Yeah, and they certainly don't like us with meters, not having meters on our wells out here, that's for sure.
Right, and the mercury in the shots, I mean, just everything is used to reduce the population and dumb us down.
Yeah, you must run across a lot of people that roll their eyes when you converse with them, don't you?
I'm afraid to talk to them. I say to myself, my internal mind says to me, like the old movie, I See Dead People.
Uh-huh.
That's when I walk in a store, I see a family, I'm thinking, I see dead people, because they're not going to want to know about this. They want to be, oh, what weekend is it this time? It's some other holiday. Don't talk to them and make them down on this holiday, you know.
Yeah.
And talk to my in-laws, because there's always some kind of party going on.
Yeah. Social atmosphere all the time. Feel good, whatever it takes.
Right.
And you're in trouble, my friend.
Yeah. And nobody cans their food anymore. That's a lost art.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And actually, the raw food is the best.
Yeah.
Raw food and
for people with high blood pressure, this. You know, the high blood pressure, you have too much salt in the MREs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I look around, and I see Americans, even I am overweight, but when it comes to push to shove, a couple, 4 weeks without food in the grocery stores, that's going to knock a lot of the population out.
Well, it's going to facilitate the reasoning behind what they want to do. And we'll comply.
Yeah.
We'll gladly disarm to get fed.
Yep.
And that's the ultimate goal here. Is the only way they're going to get to the firearms here is to get to our stomachs. And that's why we're becoming more and more dependent on foreign food.
Well, I think one of the key things everybody should be looking at maybe is hydroponics. Because,
yeah.
But they can keep their food indoors or under cover from the spraying, because this year my garden has, most everything has got black spots all over everything, even the peppers plant.
Are there, do you have any directions for the listeners to learn more about that?
Hydroponics, I'm just learning myself.
Okay.
I just would go to the different bookstores and look through there.
Hit it on the search engine, too, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's like the way to go, because then you don't have to pull any weeds. You don't have to worry about what kind of air or bugs are out there. The main thing is, if you're going to have a garden outside, I think you should make sure that you talk to your neighbors and see if they're not planting hybrid seeds, because if they're planting hybrid tomatoes and you try to save your seeds that have been cross-pollinated with your neighbors, you won't be able to grow seeds likely the next year.
Interesting. It seems like they have all the bases covered, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, the big seed companies are buying all the little ones out and making their putting Terminator genes in the seeds, so they only grow one season, so you have to keep coming back to them for seeds.
It's really funny with this seedless watermelon. That's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I better let you go. You asked for a caller, and
I appreciate it.
You're off.
Thank you very much, John. And I'm sorry that we don't have more information on the guillotines, because that is very, very pertinent, and people may not believe it, but it's a reality.
Yep.
That's on the horizon.
Okay, well, thank you. Good show.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, people. Guillotines for organ transplanting. Going to work real good for that purpose. That's a good excuse to have guillotines. But the no-hide laws, all fits. Education Day USA fits. Plenty of research out there on that. The first one that covered this information about the no-hide laws was Eric Levitt in his Illuminati book, in my experience anyway. And that was written way back in the early 90s. And that information about the guilt, wouldn't we like to hear about that? Oh boy, we sure would. We sure would. Here we see, Joan Callahan sent this to me, and this is all very relevant to what's being heard now. According to the British Medical Journal, a sweeping mental health initiative will be unveiled by President George Bush in July. The plan promises to integrate mentally ill patients fully into the community by providing services in the community rather than institutions, according to a March 2004 progress report. While some praise the goals plan, others say it protects the profits of drug companies at the expense of the public. I received this on the 20th of June. The president's commission found that, quote, despite their prevalence, mental disorders often go undiagnosed, end quote, and recommended comprehensive mental health screening for consumers of all ages, quote, unquote, consumers of all ages, including preschool children, according to the commission. Quote, each year, young children are expelled from preschool and children facilities for severely disruptive behaviors and emotional disorders, end quote. You've got to be joking. How about recess? Maybe they don't have any more recess in these schools, huh? Schools, wrote the commission, are in a key position to screen the 52 million students and 6 million adults who work at the schools. Yes, the reality's in place. Patriotism will be declared a mental illness in the future. Foretold in Behold the Pale Horse. Nowhere else. I'm not touting Bill Cooper, but he was right in a lot that he wrote. In everything he wrote, he was right. I don't see any place where he was wrong when he wrote. If anybody has anything that Bill Cooper said that was wrong, show it to me. And see, he was singled out because of an IRS issue. That's their excuse. That was their excuse. But he was ambushed, ultimately. And Linda Kennedy has questions about the fact that Bill Cooper stated that he thought Joyce Riley was a government agent. A government operative, Joyce Riley. And it wasn't but a few days later, Bill Cooper was gone. Ambushed by the local police. And who knows else? Who knows who else was ambushed with doing the ambushing with Cooper? I don't know what to say. But on the website, AmericanExpose.com, there is a standing invitation for Joyce Riley to come on this show anytime to confront Linda Kennedy's questions. And who's Linda Kennedy? Someone that spent 9 months with Dave and Joyce. People, that's all. Someone that went there on good feelings of helping our country, just like I gave them airtime back in 1999. Thinking they were doing their best for our country, we had to work with them. Well, if Linda Kennedy hadn't found out all this about Dave and Joyce, we'd all be flocking to them now. But slowly but surely, they're being found out. This is nothing that I've done. It has nothing to do with me, except I've told you already my experiences with Joyce Riley and the way they backstabbed me one time with the recording of the phone conversation and playing it back to Karen Lee Bixman. I told you about that. Dirty pool. Dirty tricks. But the questions that Linda Kennedy has composed for them to answer, and there's 238 of them up there, 238 questions. They're right on the website. See, my point is, the fact that she doesn't answer the questions makes her look guilty to the questions. And Dave, who knows who Dave is? But Sam used to always call into their shows and try and educate them about Agenda 21. They wouldn't take it anywhere. So, is she a government operative? I'm just asking. She's made a lot of enemies along the way. I don't seem to have made too many enemies along the way. But the point is that things are very, very strange, very, very drastic. This community of information is becoming more and more narrowed as the days progress. The truth is becoming more and more elusive for all of us. But the fact that fires are going on, the fact that you can link to the Global Fire Monitoring Center from the UN system, and you can see how they're all being monitored. That's because they're going to create wilderness areas, no human habitat areas, buffer zones. And better believe that the NAFTA corridors will interconnect with this. Could be a lot of our highway system will be totally taken apart, and the only roads you'll be able to drive on will be the NAFTA corridors. Hard to believe, but the project that was just covered tonight, that I covered tonight, they're talking about it being a 50-year project and $189 billion. It's a lot of money. Of course, you know, we don't mind spending $200, $300, $400 billion on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, do we? Where's the money coming from? Whose money is it? It certainly isn't our money, because our money says legal tender for all debts, public and private. So, you know, solutions? If you have any solutions, be sure to let us know. I'm always willing to hear solutions. And without hope and solutions, we don't have a lot of hope, do we? And that is certainly very, very important to keep in mind. Let's see. Well, I have more. I just don't feel like giving you more. next Friday, it appears I'll be doing Sam and Trisha's show. So next week, I should be on five nights next week. I should be, anyway. As it all appears that I'll be. I'm going to look at these sites that Steve has given us. I just can't link them now because whenever I go link, my computer fogs up. So I have to manually punch in these websites to get to them. It's just too difficult to do now. But this information on this screening for mental health first came from Joan Callahan. She's part of Take Back Florida. And we also see dated June 14th. Across Central Florida, concerns about rapid growth are fueling new measures aimed at curbing development. One of the most contentious battles is being fought in Volusia County. Slow growth activists in Volusia face a deadline to collect nearly 14,000 signatures to put a referendum on the November ballot, calling for urban growth boundaries designed to limit intense development in the country's or county's rural core, they say. Interesting. And let me get back to the front page again because it's so in your face. Let me see if I can find it. I have quite a mess to clean up tonight, as usual. But this is very, very pertinent. And you've heard it before tonight, but to dissect it is very, very important. $50 million called homeless, conflicts, natural disasters, and unchecked development have left about 50 million people homeless in their own countries, a new estimate that dwarfs the number of refugees known to aid workers, a U.N. official said. And this is Tuesday, and this came out in Wednesday's paper. So, conflicts. Wars, in other words. Conflicts, wars, what's the difference? Who creates the wars? The Federal Reserve System. Who's in the Federal Reserve System? Damned if I know, but you have a military-industrial complex making weapons that have to be used and have to break so they can make new ones. So, conflicts. Natural disasters, once again, natural disasters, weather modification of reality, environmental modification of reality. Who's making the natural disasters? Are they unnatural disasters is the question we ask. And then unchecked development. There's the clincher, unchecked development. In other words, building that is not regulated, which connects back to this article by Joni sent regarding this smart growth or urban growth boundaries that they want to make. It all fits. It all works. It's all propaganda is my point. And that is the point. 50 million called homeless. All created crises to make all those 50 million homeless. Conflicts, natural disasters, and unchecked development. And that's what they call 50 million homeless. All, more than likely, created crises, people. Well, that's it for tonight. Boy. Sam and Trish will be doing this time slot tomorrow night. Next week I'll be doing it. There's a lot of research to be done, listeners. It's all on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. I hope you will follow along and do that. God bless all of you. Good night.